Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name.
Amen.
Amen. Today we hear in the gospel that healing and praising God go hand in hand. Today we said Psalm 103, the first eight verses together. And today in all three services, we are going to feature our magnificent Skinner organ. Yes, in this service too. And the organ was built over the course of 2 years, almost a century ago, in 1926 and 1927. It features 3,240 pipes through which air or wind is blown to make 3,240 different unique sounds. So I found a translation of the first and second verse of Psalm 103 this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. The word used for soul in Hebrew is nafshi. One Hebrew Bible scholar commented that the best translation he has to offer this week for this word, nafshi, in the context of this psalm is windpipe. Bless the Lord, O my windpipe. Every week, air rushes through hundreds, if not thousands, of the windpipes of our organ. If these organ windpipes can so majestically and fervently be vehicles of God's praise week after week, how might we join our organ windpipes? At first glance, today's gospel is about a woman who Jesus heals on the Sabbath day and a synagogue leader who challenges the healing, who challenges Jesus' decision to take this form of healing, doing it on this day. But when we go a little deeper into the meaning of this gospel, we start to discover what Jesus is actually trying to teach us. As the dean of Vanderbilt Divinity School, Emily Towns, writes, the woman with a crippled spirit for 18 years and unable, she was crippled for 18 years and unable to stand up straight. And she does not ask for healing. Instead, Jesus calls her and sets her free from her ailment by laying his hands on her. And her response is to stand up straight and start praising God. It's striking that this woman does not ask for healing. She doesn't ask for it, and no one petitions on her behalf for it. Over the years, this woman's become accustomed, if not resigned, to her long and serious illness, which people are attributing to Satan. For 18 years, this unnamed woman must strain to see the sun and the sky and the stars. For 18 years, her world has been one of turning from side to side. And she's seeing what those who see stand upright can see only with a glance. She's used to this. No one questions her fate. And instead, after she's healed, the leader of the synagogue gets offended that Jesus heals on the Sabbath. I know many people who get used to living in a way that metaphorically bends them over, and I've been there myself. Those things that keep us from living our fullest potential for ourselves. Like a bent or distorted organ windpipe or even our own breath, we're told we should be resigned to our fate, and we live resigned to our fate, unable to fully use our breath to praise God. But this woman who Jesus heals, the woman for whom Jesus makes standing up straight possible, she suddenly can respond from the fullness of her being. And her response is to fully praise God. I can imagine her lifting her arms to the sky for the first time in 18 years, with the fullness of air rushing through her lungs, and in a new way, proclaiming with the strength of her lungs and the sound of her voice coming from a newly uncollapsed throat. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. What has you bent over? Like the woman, her disability had kept her from living into the fullness of her being. Maybe it's a deep regret or a resentment that has you bent over. Maybe you've been hearing and believing for a long time that nothing will ever change because there hasn't been a model or an example out there that gives you permission to experience that change. It's the synagogue leader who gets caught up in the details of it all. Here's a woman who's now healed after 18 years. And all he can think about is how it wasn't done properly. He is caught up in the all too common trap of placing form before substance. It's the trap of needing to be right rather than living to love. Who cares if she's healed? Jesus didn't heal her the right way and broke our Sabbath law. Living into the fullness of our being is about remembering that it's better to be loving than it is to be right. That is at the core of the healing that Jesus is offering today and reveals to us in today's gospel. And sometimes we have to work together to make it possible for this kind of healing, to make it possible for each of us to stand up straight and to praise God with all our being. 45 years ago, this summer, there were 11 women who had been told for their whole lives that they would not be able to praise God with the fullness of their being in the way to which they felt they were called. Because there was no way women could serve God at the altar of the church. Not as acolytes, not as readers, and certainly not as deacons or priests. These were the bent-over women of the 20th century who persisted in this state in the church. They were accepted to seminary anyway, graduated with masters in divinity, and then they stood before three bishops of the Episcopal Church who ordained them to the priesthood anyway. These ordinations, and the ordinations of four more women in September 1975 in Washington, D.C., were widely criticized as irregular because the Episcopal Church had not yet authorized the ordination of women to the priesthood. Despite the irregularity of it all, like the woman blessed by Jesus on the Sabbath day, standing upright after 18 years bent low, these were 15 women invited by God and then blessed by the church to stand upright before God, who in return blessed God with all their souls. In 1976, the House of Bishops affirmed the validity of their ordinations, and here we are today. This is the healing that Jesus is talking about in the scriptures this morning. It's less about healing our ailments and more about God showing us how to stand upright in spite of the ailments and be who God has called us to be. As Emily Towns puts it, the challenges of living into our healing can help us to uncover the realities and possibilities in our lives and our ministries and invite others to explore theirs. part of the gift of healing is that it can open doors to the rooms in our lives. And healing encourages us to walk through these doors to discover the grace and the hope and the judgment that may be inside each room. Now, this at first glance may be the last thing in the world that any of us wants to do. But we need to encourage one another to develop the ability to assess and reassess the directions our lives are going, and to be open to living in the path of healing, the path that God has laid before us, that we might bless the Lord with all our souls, with our windpipes, even if it is irregular. Now, that organ is a great metaphor for the meaning and the power behind today's scriptures. 3,240 windpipes, carefully placed in discerned places specific to their shape and their size, that when sounded serve to bless God's holy name. I'll never forget the story of an organist I knew personally. And he told me about how he came to be an organist. He talked about as a little kid, not quite fitting in many places. And he was searching as a young child to find meaning and happiness and purpose in his life. And then one day he saw someone playing the pipe organ. He saw two hands and two feet and an entire person having the power of thousands of pipes at those hands and those feet. And he recalls that day his life being changed forever. And from that moment on, he dedicated his life to praising God through the vehicle of the keys and the pedals of the pipe organ. So today I've invited Howard Helvey to all three of our services. He's come into the children's service. He's going to be here to play our postlude this morning. And he'll be as he usually is at the 10:30 service. And as we have said, the psalm, whose first verses are most accurately translated in their context, "Bless the Lord, O my windpipe," Howard has graciously invited us to go up and look at the windpipes today. So we'll turn on the lights and open the door, and you can peek in while he plays the postlude after you're dismissed in this service. And contemplate as the wind rushes through these windpipes of this organ how the breath of the Spirit of God might be hoping to rush through you, standing up straight, being who God called you to be. How might God be inviting you to stand upright and praise God with all your soul, all your windpipe? Amen. Amen.